Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Audio Frontier.
Ah, welcome to a very sad episode of Wrestling After Marks. It's the last dance, it's the last one. Ah, we've had a good run of it. Hailing from Larbert, weighing in, I didn't get down to my £180 by the end of this. I'm very disappointed with myself.
You can do it for the end of the year, it'll be fine. Before your guest appearances on the main show as well, it'll be fine.
Before the end of the episode, let's even get the £180. I am John, producer of Wrestling Daft, the host of this show. You just heard that man there. He's a man bigger than the CM Punk's pop. Well, maybe not that big. He's a former workmate of mine. He kindly jumped onto this podcast, this little brainchild. We were in the depths when things weren't looking great. The podcast was coming to an end. And he came on, we managed to save it and kept it going until Rab and Grado joined back up. And we kept this little podcast going. We called it The Marks and we kept it going up to this point. He's been with us throughout it. It's Big Alex. How are you, Alex?
I'm not too bad. I can see there's a tear already in your eye, or two tears, one for each eye.
There is indeed. Thank you, Alex.
And also, please feel free to compare me to CM Punk's pop at any other time. That's probably the nicest introduction you've given me so far. And I don't mind which CM Punk rock is. It can be Money in the Bank. It can be the one from Rampage. I'm not fast.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, you're not quite as big as that, but you know, you're somewhere near that.
I'm like a pop powerhouse Hobbs on a Wednesday night kind of thing. Yeah.
And let's welcome back a man. This man who started on The Marks, he just came in, he did the news, we invited him in, we said, Gary Cassidy, we need Gary Cassidy.
Just hold on a second, you made it start out like his wrestling career started on The Marks, and I don't think that was quite the case, unfortunately.
No, it didn't start on The Marks, but we need Gary Cassidy, we need someone to you know, take The Marks to the next level, and that man certainly did it. He's our third man. It's like Hogan at Bash at the Beach. He's our third man. He's brought us interviews from everyone from John Moxley to the Bushwhackers to Shawn Michaels. Mr. Gary Cassidy, how are you?
I am not too bad, Ali. I'll take that as an introduction. That was the high that happened about a year ago, and it's all been downhill since.
Absolutely. So yeah, boys, how you been doing? We've not caught up in a good wee while now, just because, I mean, and let's shoot here, because you know, we've not fallen out. It's not been an acrimonious
time.
It's not been an acrimonious tag team split. It all sort of happened naturally. We're all thinking the same things. All of us very busy in our shoot lives, you know. Alex be doing CG stuff, Gary up to his eyes, subtitling and also doing all the wrestling writing and everything. Myself running 6 radio shows and 4 podcasts a week. Divorce was on the cards for me, so something had to give, and unfortunately, it had to be The Marks. And I'm gutted. I'm absolutely gutted. I mean, well, I'm sure we'll say more words as we go across the show. But yeah, it's just been a pleasure and to work with you guys and, you know, do wrestling, talk wrestling for an hour every week. So
I prefer that the listeners imagine the WhatsApp chat was like Seth Rollins with the chair on Ambrose and Reigns. I think that's a better story.
I would say Alex is probably the Rollins of this split, because he was the first one to suggest that I'm too busy.
I don't know if we can quite go full Shield, because I mean it was a full of macros, everyone ran away at one point.
So it was that Money in the Bank where every one of them was a world champion at some point.
So yeah, really sad to say cheerio on this episode. But listen, we're going to bring you what we can. We'll bring you all the usual stuff, the buddies and putovers. We'll look back at SummerSlam Takeover in the company of our New Age Mark Laws, or at least one half of the New Age Mark Laws, a bit later on. First of all, I think we need to just talk about a few things that have happened in wrestling since we've been away. I don't think we've discussed the fact The Fiend is no longer in WWE. It got released in the month that we haven't done this show. Gary, what is happening there? Where's he going? Let's just get all the rumours out there now.
That was about 3 years ago now, John. That's no way. In terms of wrestling news that's happened since, it's the kind of thing where, you know, it's a surprise, obviously. It was a surprise at the time, but I think it was much less surprising than it would have been, a lot less surprising than it would have been, you know, a year and a half beforehand when we thought The Fiend was going to be the most indestructible guy in the history of wrestling. And he was for a couple of months. But I obviously hadn't wrestled, apart from that WrestleMania match where he was completely covered up for a long time. I'd heard about medical issues, but I didn't report on it because it's the kind of thing that you don't really want to put out there with it being absolutely certain. That's came to light through a couple of other sources now anyway. The stuff that I'd heard doesn't 100% match up with what's came out, but it seems like the story that came out now is that he was cleared and is good to go. And then there's been two contrasting stories for the same source. Dave Meltzer said he's AEW bound, and then Brian Alvarez buried Meltzer last night on the Rain Show and said that he's no AEW bound. So who knows? Change his name to Wyndham. The kind of thing where it's like Aleister Black, isn't it? And I mean, John Moxley, Matt Hardy, where you're like, probably a wee bit of creative freedom would be good for the guy. But then again, you don't know how much he had in WWE and how much of the rubbish was always his fault as well. So good idea to wait and see what's next. But I think a lot of people are just glad that it's came to an end, because it started off great and then got a wee bit shite. Kind of like the way the marks was for most listeners that have stayed with us for the past year now.
But Gary, you've got to remember, it's still going. Alexa Bliss is still there. So it's by no means ended, unfortunately.
That is true. Another big thing that's kind of happened over the last wee while since we last spoke is NXT being shafted pretty much.
Pretty royally, and I think last night and a certain helmet kind of confirmed that, really, didn't it? So
yes, well, I'm sure we'll get onto that a bit later on, the buys or put-offs. But what have you guys made of, it's, you know, the obviously supposed changes to NXT that Vince has now seen as developmental rather than a kind of third brand? Talk about there's going to be, you know, no one kind of over 30. There need to be a certain build, a certain height. What have you kind of made of all that?
If you look at it from the argument of what was the third brand initially there to do, it was initially a development brand, and then with the release of AEW and just the way the talent hiring was going, it was kind of becoming that indie-rific third brand almost. And I think they've of course initiated the Wednesday Night Wars, and now they've backed away with the tail between their legs a little bit. And I think rather than continuing to try and compete and be this indie-rific product, they've decided to actually turn it back into a developmental system. Because if you like, it's the Karrion Kross call-up and all of the other previous call-ups for the past God knows how many years can prove it's not been. It's been its own thing. And when they get pulled up, nothing happens. So argumentatively, what is the point of NXT?
I mean, I think that's pretty much spot on. I actually think even throughout the past couple of years, it has still been a developmental brand. They've just tried to put this label on it as the third brand. And I mean, they obviously gave it the, as you can do in wrestling, they gave it the big push for a couple of weeks in Survivor Series 2 years ago. And, you know, had them beat Raw and SmackDown in terms of matches. But it was never going to be competition, because you're still, like, the way the roster's set, about 80% of the roster is people who are only polished products who are still trying to learn. They're then put as learning in front of the world in probably the most pressurized situation you can be in, because Raw and SmackDown didn't have any competition. And then you've got this fresh brand coming along that is essentially what NXT was trying to be for years. So I think it needed a refresh. I'm going to be interested to see how much of the refresh is what's reported, but I think it needed something. And I think it might just be a case of almost accepting that it's going to be, you know, this niche thing that only gets a certain amount of viewers. But for what we've seen at TakeOver, there was a good amount of stuff that happened that would lead you to be kind of excited for how it's going to go, I think. So, aye, obviously done the JOB AEW pretty spectacularly, but I mean, most things I think probably would have done in the situation.
Yeah. What do you make of the releases, though? I mean, certainly the big standout from it was Bronson Reed, who you go, that is a Vince wrestler if ever I've saw one. I mean, the other surprise...
Yeah, they gave Joe the title.
Yeah.
Crazy. One thing I think I a lot of people know that I normally try and kind of speak the truth about how I feel about WWE, but sometimes I rein it back in a wee bit and try and see both sides of the argument. One thing that I think I need to say is that, I mean, to let go of 54 people this past year and then have the cheek to hire people at an open tryout at SummerSlam, I think slightly ridiculous. But, I mean, I guess the amount of money that they'll be getting paid is probably quite different as, you know, trainees coming in with no experience than what a Bronson Reed might have been getting paid. But I can't imagine he was on, you know, $1 million a year or anything either. So, but it was a very surprising, but it's this weird thing where, you know, for the past few years, WWE, in terms of roster, they have just swallowed up, like, any good talent they could. And, I mean, you've only got a certain amount of championship belts. You've only got a certain amount of television minutes. No of them were ever going to be a success, but a lot of the ones that we've seen released over the past year, I think, have taken a lot of us by surprise. And I don't think they'll make WWE pay, because we know what WWE is. They're always going to be there. Like, we've seen it. They've not got any fear in releasing a Braun Strowman or a Bray Wyatt or, you know, a John Moxley, even. They wasn't released, but he left and went elsewhere. I think they've seen what's happened there, and I wouldn't think they'd be scared of letting go of anybody and letting them go and taking their chance that they're not going to regret it. So it's weird because, I mean, who's got job security there? Probably Vince McMahon, Nick Khan, Triple H, Roman Reigns, and then maybe a Sasha Banks and a Becky Lynch.
I don't know, I mean, a Triple H after Charlotte some Flair might be a little bit of a stretch.
Maybe not Triple H.
Yeah. Charlotte Flair definitely got pictures of Vince.
I don't know, but then Charlotte's one of the ones, considering what her daddy and her husband
like Rick
were.
And Andrade, aye.
So, I mean, it's, that's the thing, is Charlotte as loyal as she was previously? Could it's everything's now up in the air. It's...
Yeah. And of course, we had the moment, and I'm sure we'll get into it when we talk about AEW. 7 years in the making. Tony Khan says a year and a half it's been going into it. CM Punk finally returns to professional wrestling with AEW. I don't think it was much of a surprise.
A surprise, considering they took the Michael Jordan reintroduction and they copy and pasted it, which was a terrific move. And if you notice, Punk even came out with like a Chicago Bulls pin on his hoodie.
Yeah.
So it was all set up that everyone knew. And plus as well, like, I think the ticket sales went through the roof the minute it became obvious.
Yeah, it was very obvious that he was coming back. The hints across the week on AEW.
The Derby setups are pretty obvious.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if it had been a massive disappointment, nothing. But what did you make of CM Punk's return to wrestling?
Kind of everything it needed to be, wasn't it? Like, it was, I liked the way, I mean, he might have been lying when he said he didn't write what he was going to say and just came out and said it. But I felt true to me, like, his reaction of, like, jumping into the crowd and the tears in his face. And it was the fact that he managed to wait 10 whole minutes before sitting down and shitting all over Vince, or kind of shitting all over Vince. But I think he actually approached it quite professionally for him and kind of made quite a big separation between the sports entertainment product and the pro wrestling product. And that's where a lot of his distaste came from. And then he gave everyone free ice cream. So I also love that they have not changed his shirt design in a little bit, and that Tony has splurged for a Cult of Personality, because it would have been wrong if he hadn't.
Absolutely. I mean, the great thing about CM Punk is that obviously he could retain the name, he could get the theme. You know, like you say, Alex, I don't know how much of that design, I don't know if he's done it himself or...
I think the flag is like a Chicago flag, traditionally, the black and the white with the five stars. And then obviously it's just his, the wrists are very much, I think...
Yeah.
And a couple of lightning bolts. It's pretty difficult to trademark like a very specific design for him, but obviously a living colour splurged a wee bit. But They're probably going to make that back. I mean, no given how much Spotify pay, but they'll probably make it back somehow for folk paying. I'm just trying to scroll back to see when I first heard about this being a thing. And there was a few years. Sean Ross Sapp obviously was the one that had the balls to come out with the report on it, because it's the kind of thing where you hear, and I've said it up until he actually came back, CM Punk isn't returning to wrestling until he's standing or sitting in that ring cutting a promo, because it's the rumour that's came so many times. And the thing for me, I think it was perfect. I think it was everything it needed to be. I think his promo was incredible. I think Tony Khan done the best job possible in telling us CM Punk is going to be there without announcing it. Like, he made it so that everybody definitely knew he was going to be there. He done a great job here. Obviously, they managed to sell it Chicago without it being confirmed, which was great. You know, 12,000 or whatever it was, seats. The only bit of sadness for me about it is the fact that I don't think there's any big pops left in wrestling now in terms of returns. Yeah. I mean, you'll get your The Rock, you'll get your Stone Cold when they come back for a wee one-off appearance. We know Stone Cold's almost certainly not going to wrestle. And we've actually seen them, you know, in the past 8 years, several times. They've came out to their music. So I feel like the Edge pop obviously was massive when that happened, and that was one of the biggest ones. And then, you know, obviously Christian and John Cena as well were quite big pops when they returned. But I feel like CM Punk was always the one that, I mean, crowds have been chanting his name for the past 8 years, and you know, in every setting, pretty much, mainly WWE for the sake of why he left and the circumstances and stuff. But I think perfect for me. I don't really even care how he is in the ring. I was never a massive CM Punk fan when he was around there, like, because I wasn't watching wrestling that much at that time. I don't really care how he is in the ring. I think the best thing about CM Punk is his promos, and just the fact that he could have walked out there, done a, you know, a The Rock Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania and just done nothing and still got massive cheers. So I think it's brilliant. I think it's really exciting. And I actually do think that, you know, everybody's been saying AEW isn't a competition for WWE. A wee chance they will be. I think there's definitely a wee chance they will be now, because CM Punk 100% is a person that moves the needle. And
it's a game changer. It's a complete game.
Particularly, I think that the one thing that I really hope happens, I really hope AEW buy advertising time on Fox during SmackDown. I think that's the way to go. That'd be absolutely brilliant. But I loved everything about it. Loved ice cream. Loved absolutely everything. And I don't even like CM Punk that much. So if I loved it and I'm hardly a CM Punk fan, then the people that have been waiting for him to come back for 8 years, delighted for them.
Absolutely. It was, what a pop it was, unbelievable. I've watched that 2 or 3 times, just went, wow. And the promo was great alongside it as well. So interested to see what he'll do in AEW going forward. Well, I think any other business, guys, anything other over the last month, anything else we've missed, anything else we wish to discuss at this juncture?
Big Ric Flair being in NWA this weekend.
Well, I thought you were going to say Big Ric Flair on a train, but that's an entirely different story altogether. We won't get into that. But yeah, NWA, Ric Flair, Billy Corgan confirmed that he is going to be on, making Rab's dreams come true. So that'll be interesting to watch. Gary, I think it would be remiss of us, however, on the final March show, if we didn't have a joke from you, first of all.
I was almost not going to give a joke because it's a sad occasion. So, I mean, I shouldn't be trying to make people laugh. And then I realised...
You're the kind of guy jokes at a funeral, mate. You're the kind of guy that jokes as a fair naked one, ladies once said.
I kind of... A great song, that is. No, I realised that, I mean, nothing would make people sadder than me telling a joke. So I might as well try and bring the tone down. I feel like, you know, the way that we've been over the past year and a half, we've had the momentum of a steam engine. So I think it wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't be too remiss to say that the marks are kind of like steam in some ways. And much like steam, which is essentially boiled water, we will be missed.
I'm glad it came to its usual resounding sound. It's very fitting.
I was really hoping that we were, you know, going to be back in a studio by the time that we could say this, so that I could say that on the last day, I went to the fridge, and you guys had left me a note on said fridge to say, I'm sorry, it's not working anymore. We're done. And I open the fridge and I go, no, it's working. It's fine. That one was more drawn out than it should have been. And that was a Curtis Axel promo equivalent to a joke. So I'll give
you probably, Gary. Well, listen, we'll get more wrestling chat later on in the Buddies and Putovers. We'll be joined by Rico on that. We'll have the news from Gary. But first, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to cut the final promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, Vince McMahon, are you listening to me? And listen good right here, because, you know, usually I'll cut a promo on something happening in the supermarket, maybe some driver being erratic, maybe it's something, you know, like the black wine gums. But I think, as it's a final March show, it's the last dance, we need to talk about Vince. Now, Vince, come here. Come closer.
It's birthday today as well.
Happy birthday, Vince. Happy birthday, Vince. But listen, mate, you're fucking this up. When it's not the 80s anymore. You know, we had one of the, you know, a guy you can't really mess with. You know, a great gimmick in Karrion Kross, turning up last night on Raw looking like someone from fucking Mad Max. We have Bronson Reed, star of the future. Aleister Black, future world champion, he should have been. Bray Wyatt, how can you fuck all these things up? Why, oh, why are you still in charge, my friend? Hand over the keys. I know it's hard to do it. I know it's hard to do it. But age gets to us, and you need to hand over the keys so someone's got to drive the car properly. Because at the moment, we all grew up on WWE. We're brought up on it. It's our life, our soul, our blood of professional wrestling. But at the moment, you're driving the car, and I'll tell you what, just behind you is AEW in a smashing little Ferrari, and they are going to overtake you really, really soon. They're doing it right. They're doing storylines. I mean, it has its flaws, let's face it. It does what wrestling promotion doesn't. But WWE...
Impact doesn't.
Right, sorry, Impact. But WWE, come on, I know you're making money. I know you're making good money. But listen, everybody, you know, we can all be top of the game. But you know what? You're only a day away from getting the sack. You know, and if you're not doing your job properly, that's what happens in business. And that is where WWE is going. Listen, I love AEW, but WWE is my life, my soul. You've fucked up my favorite. You're about to fuck up my favorite promotion in NXT. You've fucked up Raw. SmackDown's all right. It's only because you've got Roman Reigns there. But come on, Vince. Come on. You and Brucey P. I mean, God, you are stuck in the 80s, early 90s. Come on, man. Let's move with the times. It's 2021 now. We don't need an absolute monster dressed up as someone from Mad Max. We don't need to be letting go. It's not about height. It's not about... Well, there's a wee bit of that. And we don't want to see little scrawny guys all the time. We want to see big, muscly men slapping meat and all that sort of stuff. But come on, Vince. Let's think about it. It's time to go.
Can someone just clip John saying we want to see big, muscly men slap some meat?
No, don't. So, yeah, Vince, come on, man. Come on, WWE.
Poor guy's 78th birthday.
Happy birthday, Ben. Happy birthday. Hip, hip. Hooray!
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
America's social casino. So every week we look back at the big wrestling shows. We separate the good from the bad as we bury and put over stuff from them. Alex does AEW. Gary's on a hiatus from Raw. I do NXT. And we welcome our New Age Mark Waugh tag team. Normally it's Bronze Chill and Rico. However, he's doing a solo mission today, and it's Rico himself. How you doing, Rico?
I'm all good. It's sad times. I have to admit, it's sad times.
It's the last dance. However, your tag team partner couldn't leave the last dance without a little message. So while we hear from Bronze Cello on this last show, here we go. Mr. Bronze Cello, take it away.
Hi, everyone. I would have loved to have been on the show today, but unfortunately, let's just use a wrestling analogy. My work's booked me. So I just want to come on and say thank you just to all the listeners, everyone that's interacted with the show, everyone that's, you know, sent positive messages on Twitter. The first time that I was invited on as a guest, Mark, the wrestling world was a completely different place. It was empty arena shows at the Couple Wrestling Centre before moving on to the Thunderdome. And now fans are back. The world is opening back up, which is great news for us here in Scotland. We've got promotions that are now announcing that they've got shows coming up very, very shortly. And very soon we'll be getting the very first Wrestling Daft live show, which I'm very looking forward to. Hopefully see you all there. So I'll give a quick shout out to Gary, his interviews that he'd supply, Hall of Famers, up and comers, absolutely brilliant. Just try and not annoy Triple H in the future though, mate. Alex for WrestleMind the Buzznox, absolutely brilliant segment, and just let you all listeners know, I'm still got the highest score from anyone that has been on it.
And Bronze Cello with a record-breaking score.
And especially a big shout out to John, you know, probably one of the hardest working people that I've ever spoke to in my entire life. And a big shout out to my tag team partner, Rico, for the New Age Mark Laws. I'm looking forward to meeting you at the live show as well. Now, until we meet again, folks, remember, make Baron Corbin your favourite wrestler. Seth Rollins' choice of suits is absolutely shocking. And keep marking out.
Amazing, amazing, amazing from Bronze Cello. If you listen to the audio version, you need to get onto our Patreon. Bronze Cello throughout that changed his, I think, what, about 5 or 6 t-shirt changes throughout that.
And that was Fashion Corner all on its own, literally. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, thank you very much, Bronze Cello. Been a big part of the Mark Show over the last 6 months or so, I think. Yeah, Bronze has been doing this for us, maybe longer than that. So, absolutely massive part. But, yeah, he's missing in action this week. So, let's get into it without further ado. And we need to talk about AEW and last week's Dynamite and Rampage with the buddies and putovers. Here is Mr. Alex.
We have to go slightly further back than that because Gary will shoot me if I don't mention a certain Christian Cage winning the Impact title on Rampage the Friday night before. I think we were all very satisfied with that. I think it was, hopefully this is a long-term thing with Impact and he's going back there. He feels like the right person to hold that belt. I do like that it's legitimized them for his match with Kenny. It does confuse the waters a little bit for me, having him beaten 1 week and then going back up against them before, but I guess they've kind of they've managed to justify the match after having to have a big change of pace with Paige taking some time off for the birth of his child. So I'll get, and again, I put over to the Bucks versus good old Jurassic Express as they managed to continue almost the storytelling from the Christian Cage Impact win straight the way through to Wednesday in more of the Elite segments. So, I mean, is it just me or is Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus putting on some of the best tag team wrestling matches like at the moment? Like, them versus the Bucks was terrific and you could tell they were kind of holding themselves back a little bit. So I hope this little tag team tournament is just building to having Jurassic Express versus the Bucks at All Out. And I think we could even see them take it off them, to be honest, this time.
Annoyingly, I would really like that to happen, but at the same time, I'm all in on Jungle Boy as a singles competitor. So I'm like, I know that obviously if you chuck him, you know, a wee tag team title run, it's not going to do him any harm in the long run and they can win the world title in the future. But I'm like, get Mark in that position.
I think he needs this to legitimize him. I think you don't want to, and then they have their big tag team run. And then after that, like, Luchasaurus is like, we've done our thing now. It's time for you to go off on your own, Jungle Boy, kind of thing, you know? But that's just me. And I think because
only if they drop the titles to Chaos Project.
But you see, and my logic was as well that All Out was kind of built around having the big Hangman. In my head, I'm convinced Hangman Page was originally scheduled to win the belt at All Out. I'm just convinced of it, right?
Yeah.
So I reckon there's a space on the card for a big babyface win at the show. And what's a bigger babyface win than Jurassic Express winning the tag team titles right now? That's my logic. So I'll be proved wrong in a couple of months, but it's all right. None of you will be around to tell me I was wrong, so
it'll be fine. About it. The WhatsApp group is still going to continue, Alex. People hear about it on there.
And yes, also, so yes, so the stipulation, the storytelling was they've managed to justify putting this all in a cage. I love a good cage. So more of the cage. The final fashion corner from AEW has to be Powerhouse Hobbs' most delightful dungarees. I think I've mentioned his dungaree fetish recently, but he's now got a new pair that have Powerhouse Hobbs graffitied all over them. So, well done, sir.
I keep seeing people in dungarees these days. Are they back in fashion? Does anyone? We're probably not.
Are they ever out of fashion, John?
I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure.
I don't think I've ever owned a pair of dungarees. Have you owned a pair of dungarees, Gary?
No. I actually used to... And I feel like I need to preface this by saying many years ago and many pounds ago, I actually used to do a wee bit of modelling for a vintage marketplace.
Oh, yeah, we dropped that one. Dropped that one in the last episode, don't you? I used to do a wee bit of modelling. What?
Well, for that, I actually had to wear dungarees, and I need to say I look like a bag of shite in dungarees. So I will not be getting back, and I will not be getting a pair if they are in fashion. But I think there's probably room in wrestling for, don't need dungarees, but like lederhosen. Like, I think that's a good attire choice. That's what you want.
Right. Is this how WWE are going to rebrand Walter?
I was going to say, Walter moves to the main roster, WWE. Get the lederhosen on him. Bruce Pritchard says...
No, is lederhosen actually... That's incorrect. We're being very, very bad British people here. This is why you are very glad we're not part of it anymore. Lederhosen's Austrian. Walter is German.
But no, Walter is Austrian.
Vienna. Yes, of course. Yes. That's fine.
Walter's in Germany. But...
Can he yodel? Can Walter yodel, or is that Swiss?
Yodeling Swiss. So that yodeling would be Saddle territory. But again, I think we're falling. We're actually booking like the way WWE used to book people from countries now and chucking the shite stereotypes in.
I remember Cesaro used to yodel. I remember he used to yodel. He actually did used to yodel. I remember that. God almighty. So AEW Dynamite, that is, and obviously Rampage.
What do you mean that is it? I've got plenty more to talk about. One more thing, because I'm going to have to end on a negative here, right?
Oh, you can't end on a negative on the last show.
I can build it back up again to a positive, right. It's fine, but I think we have to discuss how much of a limp fifth labour of Jericho that we had this week.
Oh, yeah,
it has to be discussed. Like, I mean, the crowd saved it with the entrance and the sing-along, which we all knew was half the point of it, but what are they going to do?
They should have left that part organic as well. A slight burial for me on that. I liked it. Great moment and everything, but the crowd would have done it anyway. They didn't need to force it.
They wanted everyone to sing in line with each other or something. They maybe rehearsed it beforehand with like billboards, had Sammy out with his cards.
I also have a problem with the fact that MJF was the fifth labour, because I thought the point was that it had to go through five labours to get to MJF.
Yeah, and it was the kind of thing that they'd booked themselves into a corner, because if Jericho had won without his finisher, then why would he need to face him again? It just seemed really stupid. And I know there's going to be some nonsense this week to justify a match All Out. And it's like, why do you keep, before a pay-per-view, doing the match twice? So if we do get Bucks versus Luchasaurus, we saw it the week before. If we do get Cage versus Omega, we saw it 2 weeks before. And if we do get Jericho versus MJF, we saw it 2 weeks before.
I really wanted him to, and I know that, you know, I know he's currently faced, but it's no stopped him before for switching again. I thought Big Show would have been a good fifth labour, because they seemed like they went through his career. Yeah. So it's like, go to his WWE run. He was in a team with Big Show.
You could have used Punk there as well, arguably.
Aye. Yeah.
But then again, let's end on a positive, though. Sean Spears versus Sammy Guevara was excellent. Sammy got engaged as well, so let's give that a big woohoo, and that can get my match tonight, and we can move past AEW.
I can't believe we're ending with Sean Spears getting a put over.
I think Sean Spears has had a good half year. Ever since that little shot of him in the room of the chairs, with the chairs, and his orgasm face every time he hits someone with a chair, he deserves a put over.
Okay, but we won't mention the glove at any point.
Just think of the orgasm face, not the glove.
Think of the orgasm face. And of course, we had AEW Rampage and the return of CM Punk, which was...
But we kind of talked about that. And then the Jurassic Express versus Private Party was terrific, and then the rest of the show was a bit meh, but yeah, fair enough.
I mean, it was a one-hour show, and CM Punk took up about 25 minutes of said hour, so...
I'm glad they let him do it. It's why we were all there, so it's fine.
Let us move on now then to Saturday night and SummerSlam. Gary, what have you taken from SummerSlam? Give us one buddy and put over from SummerSlam, because I'm sure we're all going to have the same ones here.
I can't believe on a show where Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar came back that I ended the show thinking it was a load of shite.
Wow.
I think that's I like the Seth Rollins Edge match. Really like that. And obviously, I mean, John Cena, Roman Reigns, it was all about the build rather than the actual match. But I can't believe that that was... I mean, we got Becky Lynch coming back. That full thing was fucking terrible. Apart from the pop for her coming back was good, but then everything that followed was really, really bad.
Do you not just feel really bad for not just Bianca, but Carmella as well? Nobody won in that situation. Nobody won.
I mean, think it like ushered out Carmella. Like, what did she just sort of get out of the ring and walk up the ramp and that was her? Yeah,
she just accepted the defeat. I think we should mention Fashion Corner, Brock Lesnar. Looks brilliant. I'm loving the ponytail and the beard.
He looks proper Viking now, doesn't he?
Yeah. But I mean, we're all probably on the same page with SummerSlam. I mean, that was the biggest takeaway from everyone was Becky's return. And it didn't make anyone look good. You know, from what you hear, you know, news-wise, Becky's coming back as a heel on her own request. But they're just going to be fighting an uphill battle. Everyone's going to be cheering for her. You know, and maybe it is that the Daniel Bryan thing with Bianca, you know, like what happened against Sheamus, the quick loss, built that kind of launched Daniel Bryan from that point. But, you know, it's like, it did not at the time. It doesn't, you know, maybe we have faith in the booking, but with WWE, you have no faith in any of the booking at the moment.
It slightly reeked of Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston.
Yeah,
it was very, very similar, and I feel like Bianca's the one of the few things in terms of, you know, Bianca and Riddle are probably the two people that they've built up really well, and then just to end it like that was ridiculous. But I think the Becky thing coming back is heel. I mean, apparently she got booed the last night during the wee video package they ran in the arena, but I mean, I get maybe wrestling's changed, but for me, that's no heat. Like, that's heat on the booking, that's no heat on the character. That's like, it's like, obviously, we're all big Baron Corbin fans. He's good at getting actual heat. Like, that's Nia Jax heat, pretty much. Like, the Becky heat that she's getting in it's no actual heat. It's fans actively hating what happened rather than actually being manipulated into hating something. But maybe wrestling's changed, maybe that's a new style of heat that you get, and maybe I know nothing, so...
Yeah. I think it's a WWE type of heat where they try so hard to, as you say, with the booking, make you feel a certain way about a certain character. And I don't know how they don't cotton on to the fact that it doesn't happen often. Where if you want to display somebody as a heel or as a face and you try to push it at the fans so much for so long, the fans don't like it. They don't like being told what to feel, how to feel about things. Perfect example is CM Punk coming back. You know, you just let them feel what they want to feel. Everybody loved it. Everybody loved the fact that he was there. And now you can do whatever he wants. CM Punk could make himself a heel in one promo, presumably at this point. But they can't keep doing this. They can't keep on going back, and they probably will.
Well, the weird thing is that why would Becky, like, knowing the pop that she's just come back off request to be a heel, to think maybe it's because of her and Seth relationship that she now feels that they have to kind of be portrayed more aligned?
Maybe just because it's easier to be a heel, and maybe she thinks it's, you know, better to come back as a heel than get what's happened to Drew McIntyre over the past wee while, where you end up a bit stale and then you end up getting booed as a face. So,
any other buddies from, have you got a buddy from SummerSlam, Alex?
Probably a few, but I think the main ones have been covered. I mean, the big one for me is putting Goldberg in the main event to then have that as a kind of a flat injury style match potentially. Oh,
but Lashley killed his son. Like, that was great.
That was terrific. But is the whole point of that meant to be getting over? Like, is this meant to be like? Was that meant to be the passing the torch to Bill's son or something like that? I don't know. Was that meant to be a thing? Did I miss that?
Probably meant to get heat on Bobby Lashley, I presume, because it's a kid at the end of the day, basically, and Bobby Lashley's manhandling him, and the MVP's coming out the ring saying, oh, we didn't know it. It could have been anyone. We all know. We've seen him on TV for the last few weeks. We all know. Stop it.
But it's also a kid who dabbed on the top rope, so he deserved it.
Anyone who dabs deserves it. You're quite right. You're quite right. Rico, coming to you next. You got anything you want to talk about from SummerSlam?
I mean, the quick put over, I suppose, was...
Oh, come here, put over. Give us your burial.
Oh, sorry, the burial, sorry. The burial, to be honest, it was returning to the well of Brock Lesnar. I know it was great having him back, looked good, but at the same time, how long can they keep going when they need a big star of going back to just Brock Lesnar coming in at the end of the pay-per-view? It's happened a few times over the last couple of years, and... I have to be honest, like, my initial reaction was, oh, cool. And then quickly I was just like, well, do you know what? It'll be the same thing over and over again.
This instance, I would argue slightly the opposite. This is the one place it would work, because he went over Cena. So what's left after Cena? The only mountain to conquer is, like, Lesnar? Is what it seems to me. Like, where else does Reigns go from there?
I think the weird annoyance for me, and I kind of get why both of them are, but the annoyance for me is we get two massive returns and they're both going to SmackDown, which is a good show anyway. Like, Rock would probably do it.
Very true.
I do agree with you that it's a bit worrying that they do just go straight back to Brock. I kind of hope he's kind of coming in for a couple of matches and going out again. Be the hope.
Do you think, and again, like, the Heyman story will be good as well between...
Yeah, do you think Reigns will go over Brock?
I hope they align.
You hope they align.
I really hope they align.
Yeah, because then Brock can go to Raw, and then
two-man power trip.
It'll be interesting to see the reaction of Paul Heyman, because it's not like he's gone, you know, he's gone against his clients in the past before, like turning on Brock to align with a Big Show.
Was just a silly fucking decision. Let's be honest.
But still, like, it'll be interesting to see how Paul Heyman fits into it all.
Yeah, no, certainly. I think, you know, the story that might get told, and I mean, looking ahead, further ahead, is perhaps, have they got The Rock booked for WrestleMania, in which case you don't need the belt on Roman. And in that case, that's why they've held on to Jimmy. Because
maybe, but if that's the long-term plan, maybe the Brock's just to tide him off to The Rock.
Yeah.
And I mean, by the time he then gets to The Rock.
When the Rock shows up, as has been rumoured, because... Brooklyn and all that, so
yeah. So wait, see, buddy, I think it'd be remiss of us as marks to go through this whole burial section of sort of something without mentioning Alexa Bliss and Doudrop and Eva Marie, which was perhaps one of the worst paper. Now, we've all seen Grado's Monsters Ball match, and this is certainly up there.
Do you think he's happy that it's at least someone he knows can now, like, attest to his title for one of the worst pay-per-view matches of a Scottish wrestler of all time?
Yeah,
it was a short match, at least.
It was. The bit with Doudrop it, or
Eva Marie's first ever pay-per-view singles match.
Yeah.
Do you know who lost?
Everyone.
Everyone know who lost, yeah?
Yeah. Awful. Awful. So, yeah, well, let's forget about that. Let's be more positive. Let's end a positive note for SummerSlam. Gary Cassidy, what's your big positive from SummerSlam, even though you thought it was shite?
Edge coming out for the entrance.
Oh, everyone is going to see that. I know it. Everyone's just going to go straight back.
It was really banging. It was really, really good. I'm all for it. And it kind of perked me up after Seth Rollins stole Jay White's jacket.
Jay
White's jacket, Seth. That's not yours. A better man wears that.
Can we bury the fact he didn't do the full Brood entrance and he switched it to Metal Angus as well? He needs to come.
White shot as well. I mean, he needs a white shot.
And Gangrel. They should have brought Gangrel for one lap. Walk him down to the ring. Disappointing. Right, Alex, so we've had the Brood entrance is gone now. What's your put over?
John Cena's new merch. It's the first time I've liked a piece of John Cena merch in years, and it's only because he's ripped off Mario, but it's great. It's terrific. I love it. Everyone go buy that shirt.
Are you going to buy a John Cena shirt? Is that what you're saying right now on the last podcast?
I'm not going to buy a John Cena that shirt, but this is the if I ever was going to be one that is inspired by Super Mario World, which is one of my favorite games of all time, also released a year before.
Shut up, bro. That makes me feel fucking old. Jesus, man. Right, okay, we'll skip by that then. Rico, have you got something you want to take away from SummerSlam?
Overwise, yeah. I like the fact that the crowd all booed Goldberg, to be honest. we've had enough. He can't have a good match if it's any longer than about 2 minutes. And the blowout at the end of the match, I think, proves it. And I like the fact that, again, Bobby Lashley put his son in the Hurt Lock and everybody cheered.
Well, yeah, there's also something really important that ran through the weekend up until last night that wasn't on TV, and it's the full Baron Corbin saga of him being in Las Vegas and making some money back and living the high life. And we all know where it's going to go, but I'm enjoying it anyway.
I watched the tweet of it, and I was expecting it to be like some sort of multi-million dollar win, and he turned $35 into $100.
But then there's also I think it's his Instagram, it's like him sitting and he's wearing a non-stained shirt and he's got three women and eating a steak dinner, and it's like put that on TV. Geese 3 years a Baron Corbin rather than Raw. I'd be happy with that.
A Baron Corbin would be definitely.
Can we also put over RK-Bro winning the titles?
That was going to be my over. I think that in terms of wrestling wise, I thought the Mysterio's Usos match was great. I thought Edge Rollins was fantastic. I want to see.
I'm disappointed that they put Edge over.
No, he had
years of Seth building himself up. Yeah, squashed by Edge.
But I think there'll be another match off the back of that. And then I thought Damian Priest, that was a really strong show. And I thought the Sheamus-Damian Priest match was really, really good as well. So they would be my matches that I would certainly put over. And obviously, there's Charlotte winning in our title as well. Well, there we go.
We've got to keep her somehow.
I know. So that's SummerSlam. Let's move over onto Sunday, on to TakeOver. As Gary said, it was a typical NXT show, and probably the last takeover in the kind of current format as NXT with the big changes to come. Gary, what is your buddy, first of all, from TakeOver?
Oh, my buddy's easy. Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole.
Aye.
Rubbish. I mean, we didn't need it again anyway. We didn't need it after the first one. We needed about a third of the first one, never mind three actual matches. Just not very good. And I mean, after it being on after a certain match that I know we're also going to talk about, wasn't really beneficial for it. So I just think bad to watch for me. I didn't like it. I'm not a massive Adam Cole fan anyway, not a massive Kyle O'Reilly fan. Put them both in a match that is longer than it needs to be and no very well paced, and I'm not going to like it. So,
Alex?
The fact that they're turning it into a developmental prospect and they've put one of my favorite wrestlers as the champion, it's very, very confusing times. I'm very confused. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. I love Samoa Joe. I absolutely fucking love Samoa Joe, but you can't say this is now a developmental territory and then give Samoa Joe the belt.
That's what I don't understand. Why have they put the belt on Joe? I mean, did you want to get Cross up to the main roster? I get that, right? Obviously, is this Mad Max baddie that they've got him as now. But, I mean, why put, if they're turning it into a developmental, the oldest wrestler there has got the title at the moment, just...
And could they not have held off on putting them on Raw because the win just fell flat? Because it was like, all right, he's beat Karrion Kross. Who cares? Everybody beats Karrion Kross.
Aye.
It's not a big deal.
Also, no tag team matches. Like, NXT tag team matches are traditionally standout, and there's always usually a cracking one on the show, and there was no tag team matches. So why did you bother creating your own female tag team titles if you're not even going to put them on a takeover? I mean, it's just, again, it just makes no sense.
Absolutely. And the MSK being there, because obviously them being on the card would have made it a good card anyway.
Exactly. And MSK are young and up and coming talent. MSK perfectly fit the bill of your new era of NXT.
Buddy from Eureka.
I think Alex has just had a cracking point about the women's tag titles. I forgot they existed. But I'm going to go further into what Gary said already. Just about the ending of that match between Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. I was reading up on a couple of threads after it, and the word that a lot of people used to describe the ending of that match was abrupt. I certainly didn't expect to see Adam Cole tap out to an E-bar. And there was the crowds didn't sound like it was hyped enough. They started to boo it afterwards for a storyline that has been dragged out as long as that had. That has, I kind of expected something more, but yeah, it left a wee bit of a bitter taste in the old mouth. And as we're all going to come on to, I presume, in the putovers, coming so quickly after that match, just poor, just really poor.
My buddy, I'm going to, you know where I'll probably go with on this one, my favourite two in the NXT at the moment, Grimes and LA Knight. Great, look, I'm not buddying the match, I'm not buddying anything. I thought it was great. I just think they've rushed to that too quickly. I think there was so much more of a story to tell with the Butler thing. you know, a potential kind of him becoming the a reluctant bodyguard for LA Knight. There was just so much more story to tell, and I think they rushed to that too quickly. Great match, loved it, and I still love what they're doing. Ted DiBiase looks like he's going to be hanging about for a wee bit longer in it as well. And a great finish, and loved all that. But yeah, I just think they rushed to that far too quickly.
I think we know why. If the rumours of where the way that NXT is going is why, you know, if it's going to be a pure heavyweight show and developmental, then they're going to have to start tying off stories now. Bring up new ones.
Plus, as well, someone like LA Knight's someone you feel sorry for. He's a very recent signee, and he's what, 40? LA Knight.
I mean, they've got.
I've actually offended LA Knight there. Let's see how old he is.
Yeah, they've got to move him. He is too good a promo, too good a wrestler. I mean, surely he's in a vintage. He's a big
38. 38. So he's above, like, and he's yeah, it's.
We've got to move LA Knight to the main roster. He's such a great promo. And, you know, the comparisons, his promo technique, and Bav said he sounds like The Rock and stuff like that. It's true. He's just brilliant. So, yeah, it's a shame. But I'm really hoping we move him to the main roster because he's brilliant. I love him. And obviously, Grimes is just fantastic. Gary, let's go into the positive things then. Let's go for your put over then from TakeOver.
Easiest choice ever. I got to interview Ilya Dragunov this week, very, very quick interview, and I asked him about, you know, was there any apprehension about the match getting moved to the States? Because on any NXT UK show, that's the main event, and it's undoubtedly the main event, and it felt like it should have been the main event for TakeOver, but it was never going to be, just because, you know, NXT UK title, it's not going to be headlining over either the biggest story or the NXT title. One of them's definitely gone after it. So I asked that Ilya Dragunov, slightly pissed him off by asking him, but I will. And he said that it's a match that would stand out on any card, it would turn heads, and he was right. For me, I think match of the year. I don't think there's any question it's my match of the year. Brilliant match, and I don't even really like proper brutal violent wrestling, even though it was the weapons used, just fucking Walter's big shovel hands. It was absolutely amazing. For me, that's like, if you were going to watch TakeOver, I would say don't bother, just watch that match, and you'll probably think you'll come away with a better overall impression of the show than if you watched the entire show. So that, for me, no doubt, the only high point in the show, really, for me.
Really? Yeah, I mean, I thought there was some really good wrestling on it. Obviously, I've said LA Knight, Grimes. I thought Dakota Kai, I thought that was Raquel Gonzalez's best match, but Dakota Kai...
It was also good to see Dakota Kai finally getting a main event match. Aye. That was one of the things, that's what I was going to say, was like, Gary's almost right. Go and watch the Dakota Kai and Gonzalez match as well, because that might be the last time you see Kai. No, Kai is young enough. Kai will be fine. I'm just getting really paranoid about everything.
I think Alex is checking IDs and writing people off.
But no, I thought that was enough. You know, I think totally agree with you on the Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly match. Absolutely. Alex, put over.
I mean, at least Kyle O'Reilly won, I guess. Does that count? At least Adam Cole didn't win. I'm trying to think of something positive from that
match. You know, a put over is good when you end it with, I guess.
Because, I mean, like, they called it the Undisputed Finale. At least it did kind of, like, put an end to it to a degree. But with the lack of Bobby Fish and Roddy's stuff as well, it just all felt a bit meh. Because they haven't involved Roddy at all in this. They haven't, like, Bobby's gone now. So it just feels like it's just... It's over, at least.
It could have been so much more, the Undisputed Civil War kind of idea. They could have done so much more with it. But that it's done. Adam Cole's potentially last match in NXT, if all the rumours are true. We'll get into that in the news a wee bit later on. Rico, have you got something for us?
I was going to say the Dragunov v Walter match as well. Walter is certainly a sleeper pick for one of the best wrestlers in the world, in my opinion. I am a bit more of a fan of that hard-hitting style. And I think Walter and Dragunov, they pulled it off, like, majestically. There was points in the match last night where my wife was just sitting on the couch just scrolling through her phone, and I was like, you've got to watch this. You have to watch it. Like, there's one point where Dragunov took a chop to his back. It was ridiculous. But I think another thing to put over as well is the NXT UK title being on NXT shows. On the pay-per-views, I looked through it last night, and three I picked out, I think, that have been defended on TakeOvers have been Pete Dunne against Tyler Bate, which was match of the year that year. Yeah. There was, I think, Walter versus Pete Dunne.
Yeah, it was. One.
And then Walter and Dragunov. I mean, they're show stealers, consistently show stealers. And maybe we should have considered having NXT UK as one of the shows that we went over. But maybe we'll do it another time, another podcast, maybe, who knows. But
absolutely, I think, obviously, echoing what all you guys say, the Walter Dragunov, that's match of the year without a doubt for me so far this year. Incredible.
I think the impressive thing about that as well is that I keep saying, like, in 10 years, if we look back at the era where we had no crowds, I think not only does their first match stand out, it actually benefits from not having a crowd. So I was actually a wee bit worried that they wouldn't be able to put on as good a match with a crowd in attendance, and they did. So
yeah, absolutely. Put over for me, and just as purely selfish Scottish, great to see Kaylee Ray turning up in NXT, you know, at the end of the Gonzalez. And I'm pretty sure she's going to be a star there. Obviously, there's big hopes for her, and it's good to see another Scottish female be involved in the WWE phenomenon from Nikki Piper, and now I'm not getting Cordo drop, and now Kaylee over there doing her thing. So brilliant news for Scotland, and like I say, I think she'll go on to probably hold that title as well.
And don't worry, Alex, she's under 30.
I just checked, she's 29. She's 29.
Brilliant. Boys, that's it for our Brighton Putovers this week. I just want to say, Rico, once again, thank you for all your contributions to the show. It wouldn't have been the same without you. And, you know, that moment when you came on as Bronze tag partner, fantastic. And, you know, he's made a fantastic tag team. It's just a shame we've had to break yous up. But we'll hopefully see you. We've talked about doing the live show and on Halloween, so you and Bronze, get down there and we'll see you at the bar for a couple of pints.
Amazing. I do have one final put over, if that's all right.
Yes, go for it.
Dak, you know as well, it'll be. It's you guys in this show. I only came out onto this show because Bronze had been unchallenged, I think, for 4 or 5 weeks, and I thought to myself, like, well, if nobody else is going to challenge, I think I will. Turned into a tag team, had an absolutely dominant run unchallenged for so long because everybody else was scared, apart from the final chap who robbed me, quite frankly.
I think we have to give him a shout out for winning in his last week. Winning? John never, there's no losers with John, so it's fine.
No, there's never a loser.
Okay. No, but
double count out.
okay, right. No, but the showing, it's encouraged me to watch wrestling more and try and get a bit more involved. Helped me feel a bit more confident in myself and my talking. I don't usually do things like this, but it's helped me to sort of engage and talk about one of the things that I love most in the world. So, I mean, what I've said on the show might not have always been right or wrong or for everybody, but hopefully I've helped to create a bit more debate on the show, and just thanks for the last 5 months of having me on the show. Really appreciated it.
Oh, loved having you on, mate. I'm tearing up here. But, you know, and we'll always have Baron Corbin, boys. We'll always have Baron Corbin. Okay, for the final time, let's sing it loud and proud. It's the Wrestling News with Gary Cassidy.
Well, the big news, of course, this week is obviously that we're deciding to call it a day. So, I mean, that should get top billing ahead of any other nonsense we're going to talk about. Screw your CM Punks, you know, all that coming back. That's nobody cares about that, really.
Exactly.
But, nah, the big story, of course, we didn't cover Raw because I did not watch Raw. However, you see the odd wee thing happening. One thing that I seen was that Elias has a new hat. But he's not the only person who has new headgear, and it wasn't even the worst headgear that you've seen on Raw. Karrion Kross, I don't even know how you'd describe it. It's kind of, from the comparisons I've seen on Twitter, the closest one for me was when Shrek tries to put on his big knight's helmet. And John said Mad Max. It is somewhere in the midst of, like, four or five of them. Somebody also had a photo of the executioner for WCW, but an 8-bit version of it for an arcade game. Why? Karrion Kross.
Yeah, it's very Mortal Kombat, isn't it? Very,
yeah. He's, for anyone that's not seen it, everybody's probably seen his recent matches where he wears the kind of gladiator, I don't want to say skirt, but skirt. And he's got like he comes to the ring wearing like a kind of double belts crossed over. He's added to that a helmet. And the reason for it slightly bizarre because people seem to absolutely hate it online, but the reason for it is to make him more marketable. So this is Andrew Azarian, who we've spoken about many times. He's broke lots of news over the past few months through the Matt Men Pro Wrestling podcast, which is part of Dave Meltzer's massive empire on the One WON Figure Four Online, whatever you want to call it. But he said that, yeah, the new look which he wore for his match with Ricochet is to go along with his post-apocalyptic character, red mask, red straps across the torso. He said that this is all been given an overwhelmingly negative response, but apparently the reason is because you need to sell things, which is ironic because Karrion Kross isn't very good at selling anyway.
Where is Scarlett though? Where is Scarlett?
Good question. I mean, should be there.
Apparently,
how you
they don't have
market.
Females in the post-apocalyptic world where he's
oh,
from.
Oh, God. I just...
Literally, the one way to make the guy more marketable is to stick the good-looking woman that he's been with for the past, like, 2 years on NXT next to him and put a helmet on him instead.
I just can't believe... I really can't believe how much they've fucked up Karrion Kross. I really... Oh, it's just so bad. It's like watching a car crash. It's just... Oh... right, anyway, let's move on to bigger and better things. Kenny Omega is putting out big teases, and a lot of teases going out about Adam Cole joining AEW. May Molly turn up on Dynamite or Rampage this week? Because he can.
I can tell you that he cannot turn up on Dynamite. He can turn up on Rampage.
Oh,
so
how can
apparently, Fightful have in the past, I think, hour or so. I just read the email there when I was clicking through. But apparently his contract runs until the 27th, which is Friday. Right. So I guess he could show up on Rampage, but can he show up on Dynamite? I don't even... I've kind of lost track of what the venues are because I think... I don't know where Adam Cole's from.
It's from Panama City.
Panama City. Because
he was the Panama City Playboy and it's the Panama City Sunrise.
That's the one, Panama City Sunrise. I was trying to remember the name of the move, but I don't know if there's anything close to there. But for anyone who doesn't know, who doesn't watch Being the Elite, Adam Cole was a character on Being the Elite up until a couple of years ago when he signed, more than a couple of years ago, when he signed with WWE and died. So he is officially dead in the canon of the show, but Kenny Omega has been putting out wee teases. He put up a photo of dead Adam Cole from Being the Elite on his Instagram. Changed his header photo, as you know, the Young Bucks have been changing their Twitter bios every couple of days. It seems like there's been absolutely hundreds of them. But they've been changing that. They've been putting up, you know, Nick Jackson dressed as a ghost. They've had all sorts of different things, different header photos and stuff. But Adam Cole was part of the Elite. They've been teasing it. The rumor is that he's no longer going to be under contract with WWE. So adding two and two together, people are saying Adam Cole turning up in AEW, hundreds of teases happening. Will it happen? Probably be more interesting than what he done on Sunday night against Kyle O'Reilly. So
hey.
I would like to see Adam Cole versus CM Punk. I think that would be a fantastic wrestling match.
I want to see Adam Cole versus...
Oh, God, don't give me the hot carry.
The right to use the Canadian Destroyer as a finishing maneuver. That's what I want to see.
I don't mind it. It wouldn't have been near the top of my list of CM Punk matches in AEW, but I get that it would be a good match. But for me, I kind of am no massive on Adam Cole, so I'd be intrigued to see what, like, if he would revert back to pre-WWE Adam Cole, or if it would just be a continuation of the thumb pointing prick that we've seen recently.
Oh, he's that was pretty much all Adam Cole, was it not?
That is all Adam Cole.
I'm one of these guys, as his character. I mean, he probably is a lovely guy for what we've seen, for, you know, him backstage getting... I say backstage, it was in a hotel lobby getting pinned by Brody Lee Jr. Seems like a lovely, lovely guy. I just think the NXT character has gotten the most stale any character could ever possibly get. So I really hope that he's slightly different in AEW if when he turns up there.
I like Adam Cole.
I like the way that now it's now not just Robin Grado that's lit you for that. It's now also Gary.
Yeah, so. Everyone's lit. Right, okay. And the gamer, Alex is the big gamer out of us. A full WWE 2K22 gameplay has been revealed, set for next January 2022.
I was going to say, it's not only been revealed, it's been delayed.
Aye.
So, aye.
They released the trailer. I actually missed the trailer.
Yeah, they released a short trailer. They released a couple of photos last week of Edge, which people might have seen, which I tend not to read too much into these photos because they normally release like photos of the one character they've put the most effort into in terms of graphics.
Can I just say, as someone who works in a parallel industry, never, ever trust trailers.
Like, no.
Here's a select 30 seconds of our best work. Like, it's...
And I think you've got to say as well, the fact that the trailer and the images released have not been very good. don't really lead you to hold it much hope for the actual game. But we've gotten so used to the fact that anything with the suffix, you know, 2K, and then it's got the year. If it's 2022, you're normally going to get it in 2021. So it doesn't actually leave it much time to breathe. And there's so much pressure on for how bad the last one was.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's already not looking very good.
If you're a gamer and you look at what's happened to PES recently, that's the model that WWE should be going down. Maybe not free to play entirely, but having one game where they then rely on yearly expansions or something. Stop sticking a name on it.
It's Pro Evo got better now, has it?
Pro Evo has went full free to play, and I think you now pay for like changes in squads and stuff
You pay for squad updates pretty much.
I'm gonna have to check that out because I was a massive Pro Evo fan as opposed to FIFA. So
was I. It was sacrilege in 2008 when we all had to go back to FIFA. But
yes, like, absolutely.
Aye. They should just re-release the 2004. I think it was 2004 with Adriano with like 99 stats.
I think that was like maybe. Yes, I think it was 95. Yes, that's
Pro Evo on Super Nintendo was one of the best football games ever. Loved it.
That was about.
I'm thinking like 2001 or 2000 or even maybe before then. But either way, 2K22. Not only have they released images and stuff and they've put back the date, but there was also a report, and I actually can't remember the guy's name, but Sean Ross Sapp retweeted this report and I read it. I'm not obviously no really into, you know, gaming journalism, so. No massively knowledgeable on it, but apparently there are tensions between 2K and WWE and a rumour that this might be the last 2K game, which, I mean, I don't even think the tensions would be a reason to believe that. I think if the game flops in any way, you'd have reason to believe it would be the last WWE 2K game, because I don't really think they could release a third bad one after that.
Have you heard about what happened with 2K and NBA?
No.
They had to literally take a year out. That's how bad these 2K franchises are at just trying to push them on. So, yeah, if you're a WWE game fan, wait with seriously bated breath.
I have to say that I own Battlegrounds on both the PlayStation 4 and the Nintendo Switch, and I paid for neither copy, and I was still disappointed.
How did you get the free one on the Switch? I got the free one on the PlayStation.
The Switch one was a birthday present, so that one was technically bought for me. But I got the free one on the PlayStation through the developers, who, we're here, I can bury them. They offered me a couple of copies to give away for free and a digital copy for myself. Seen the digital copy for myself, but they didn't send me the other ones to give away. So.
Ah, fuck them.
But, I mean, there wouldn't have been any interest anyway. Nobody wants to play it.
And that is your WWE gaming news, and that is your wrestling news finally on the marks for this week. Gary, thank you very much. Well, boys, that has come to an end. As Grado had played on the main podcast, I feel that, you know, it's time to say goodbye. Boys, I just want to say, I say it at the top of the show, I just want to thank both of you for putting up with this nonsense for the last week. I mean, you know, it's shit here. None of us have been paid for this. All I've offered you is nights and beers out, which I need to get a date in the diary for one coming up. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming on this crazy ride on the marks over the last, was it a year? We've got up to episode 66.
So I think we did it over a year. We ended up like, but maybe like close to a year and a half, because we have been very sporadic.
We were in a studio at one point. I think I was in it twice.
So that's been about a year and a half. So throughout lockdown, we've been mostly doing it across the screens. But listen, it's been great. I just, you know, we started off, me and Alex started off as colleagues, and Gary, you came into it, and now you're friends. And I look forward to
I'm really disappointed you didn't go Friends. But...
Friends!
What I'd like to know, I'd love to know if anyone out there had a sweepstake on to see what would come first, the end of the Mark show or the first live event.
Oh. I know.
It's like Raw Underground versus Retribution, and we've done the job.
I know. Well, Grado and Rab are both claiming that they put us out of business. So, you know, that's the big claim at the moment.
Honestly, we all know that WCW and ECW were better than WWE anyway.
Exactly. But guys, listen, thanks so much. I hope that we'll continue our wrestling chat on our group chat as well. Let's get to a show. Let's get to a show soon, the three of us, and we can have some beers and hopefully see a lot of you guys that have been listening down there as well. We'll get to an ICW show because they're going to be live again. And of course, when it happens, the plan is Spooky Club, hashtag Spooky Club, Wrestling Daft live at Venue TBC on Halloween. For the celebrate the 100th episode of the main show. So that will go.
John, I feel like you should just shoot here. Let the listeners know the real reason why we're ditching. If you tune in to NXT UK next week, you'll see the debut of the faction Chips, Cheese and Donner. We can't do the podcast anymore because we're debuting on NXT UK.
I know. Well, listen, more people listen to this podcast than watch NXT UK.
I should wait till the bump John takes. It's phenomenal.
But listen, I just want to say thanks very much for everyone that's listened. We've had a lot of really nice messages in for everyone that's listened in over the last year and a half. And in the wrestling business, gentlemen, never say never. That's what we always say, isn't it? You know, comebacks happen. Fucking hell, Hulk Hogan made a comeback. Do you know what I mean? He still wants to go in the ring right now. Who knows what will happen?
He's 8 years. We'll get some ice cream bars and we'll be sorted.
Exactly. So until next time, pains me to say it, keep marking out.
Audio Frontier.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.